How do you do? Have you ever been weighed down by bad decisions of the past? Who hasn't? At the age of 20, the man in this story couldn't seem to escape the consequences of previous bad decisions, even though he tried to make amends. He gained understanding of their true purpose only when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
This is Pastor John.
Pastor, this is Rob. Something very serious happened this morning. I need your advice.
What is it, Rob?
I went to my closet to get ready for church, and all my clothes had been slashed with a knife. Every dress shirt and every pair of slacks.
Good grief.
Yeah, the knife was left lying right there on the closet floor. It gave me chills when I saw it.
Who would do such a thing?
My wife. When I confronted her, she pretended not to even hear me. She just smiled and walked away humming a strange little tune.
My wife and I will come over and talk with you and her.
Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The bottom can fall out of anyone's life, a divorce, a job loss, a natural disaster. Sometimes there's no family to help. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night, welcoming those who need the everlasting arms. Those arms that never fail were there in 1877 when the mission first opened. Those arms have made the old lighthouse in Chicago what it is today, a place of refuge for more than 800 men, women, and children each day. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission offers a place to sleep, fresh clothing, and nourishing meals, even medical and dental treatment, all without charge to homeless people. Mission pastors and counselors lay a firm foundation on which these people can rebuild their lives according to the master plan. And those everlasting arms accomplish that, enabling this program to go out to the world in 10 languages. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3108 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Well, I've heard what your wife had to say, Rob. She says that you've been unfaithful to her with women everywhere, in your neighborhood, in her family, and all over town.
Pastor, I called you here for guidance. How can you believe her? You've known me for several years, and you know she doesn't attend church with me. She hates the church and me for attending the services.
Yes, but...
Yeah, you won't find anyone anywhere in the city who can testify that I've been unfaithful to Gail in any way whatsoever. All the time that you've known me, no one has ever told you that I've exhibited that kind of behavior. Pastor, I'm in physical danger. Can't you see that?
Last week we heard how the man in our story was betrayed by his family numerous times growing up. In this conclusion of his testimony, we'll hear how the man we're calling Rob Letarin was unshackled.
I was 20 years old and married to a woman who was mentally unstable, who had lived with me a short time and gotten pregnant, so I married her. Yet she hated me. The only good thing about our marriage was our baby daughter, who was 9 months old. Then through a new job where I heard the gospel, I repented and I asked Jesus to save me. I went home that day eager to tell my wife, but she and the baby were gone. A few hours later, Gail came home.
What's up with you? You look strange.
Gail, something tremendous has happened. Now sit down.
What, you got a raise?
No, better than that. I got saved today. I gave my heart and life to Jesus, and he's made me different. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. I'm a brand new person, Gail.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Now, I flushed all the liquor and drugs down the drain.
What? How dare you do something stupid?
I don't need them anymore.
What about me? They were mine, too, you idiot!
No, I don't want them in the house, Gail. Besides, the drugs are illegal. We could be arrested at any time.
If I want to get high, I'll get high. You hear?
Not in my house. Not anymore.
I hate you. Do you hear me? I hate your miserable, worthless life. Stay out of my way from now on.
The hostility between us erupted into an all-out spiritual war. Gail hated anything and everything about God and the church. She frequently disappeared, leaving a note taped to the television, leaving our toddler alone in the crib. If I protested, she threatened to leave with our daughter. I was trapped. Gail kept destroying my Bibles, but I kept going to church, taking our daughter with me. Then I got a great job that tripled my salary. More money didn't solve anything.
What's wrong with buying a new dress? We can afford it now.
Oh, we should be saving money to buy a house, Gail.
Oh, you're just a tightwad.
If you want to be a spendthrift, go out and get a job yourself. You haven't worked since we met.
I tried to get a job, and you wouldn't let me.
You can't work in a gentleman's club. That's final. And you can't buy pot instead of groceries, either.
You know, who do you think you are? Telling me what I can and can't do.
I earn the money. We have to live according to what God teaches in the Bible. We have to be good stewards, obey the laws, teach our children right from wrong. Gail was unfaithful, but I tried to overlook it. 4 years into our marriage, I bought our first home. A few months later, I was laid off from my dream job, and we trimmed our budget to survive. Fear overtook my faith, and I began to doubt God. One day, I came home from seeking work, and Gail was gone, along with our daughter and all of their things. I spent hours looking for them, then I walked outside and ran into a neighbor.
Oh, hello, Rob.
Hey, have you seen Gail and our daughter?
Yes, a car pulled into your driveway about noon today.
Oh.
I've seen that car before, and it wasn't family, not the way they acted.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he helped her carry things out of the house and into his car.
Oh, well, can you describe him?
Yeah, I got a good look at him. He was older, dark hair.
What sort of man was I to have let my life sink so low? Weeks went by with no word from my wife and daughter. 3 months passed, and I got a part-time job at a carryout. Then in mid-July, my pastor called and wanted to talk with me. When he arrived, we sat outside in the grass.
Gail stopped by this morning. She says she left because she needed time to think about life. She's decided the church is exactly what your family needs, and she'll attend services from now on.
Oh?
I have a few personal questions to ask you, though, Rob.
Oh, sure, okay.
Is it true that you've repeatedly struck her?
No, what? No, Pastor, I've never hit her.
Did you hide the money so that she can't buy clothes for your daughter?
Of course not. Those accusations are completely false. She's been unfaithful to me, and the neighbors can verify seeing men come to the house while I was at work.
She wants to come home, but she's afraid. Will you meet her in my office tomorrow morning?
My daughter was overjoyed to see me, and Gail played the victim. But as soon as we left the pastor's office, she reverted to her old self. She was so much like my mother. Nevertheless, I moved them back home. 2 weeks passed. One night, she was hysterically happy as she fixed a meal. She waited till I had eaten to tell me why.
I had great news from the doctor this morning.
Oh? What was that?
You have to guess.
Please, just tell me.
We're going to have a baby. You don't look happy.
My unemployment is about to run out, Gail. When is the baby due?
The doctor didn't say.
I'd like to talk to him.
Why? Don't you trust me? You've never trusted me.
By February, she was full term and in labor. My mother had done that to my father when I was 16. But as I stood in the hospital looking through the glass at that tiny newborn girl, I realized I loved her. Did it really matter under what circumstances a baby was conceived? She was innocent and needed my love and protection. Had my dad felt that way as he stood and looked at me when I was born?
Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus said, Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
I loved Gail and that baby girl, and we all went home. Everything was fine for 2 weeks as her family and friends came and went. I was determined to try to make it work.
What is that car you drove home?
Oh, I sold the other one and paid off the note. I still had enough to get this one.
Without asking me?
We have to make cuts wherever we can, Gail. No one's being called back to work. I also put the house up for sale.
How dare you do that?
Well, it's better than going into foreclosure.
You just want to get rid of us, don't you?
Now, don't be ridiculous.
You've been unfaithful to me.
Gail accused me of things she had done herself. That's when she slashed all my clothes with a butcher knife and arranged them on hangers as if I were still in them. The pastor came and talked with us. After he left that day, I walked back in the house and felt eerie. The hairs on my body stood on ends. I called out, but Gail didn't answer. As I walked into the kitchen, suddenly she stabbed my arm with a paring knife, then stood there taunting me. I chased her into the garage where she jumped to our car and locked the door, then backed out to the street with me in pursuit. She floored it, striking me in the leg and knocking me onto the hood. I landed on my side in the gravel just in time to see her blow through a stop sign. I dressed my wounds and called the pastor, who came by again.
Are your daughters okay?
Yeah, they're still here and in their room.
Are you gonna be all right?
I'll be okay. I've got a lot of scrapes on my arm, big bruises on my leg from the car. The most painful is the stab wound on my arm. It bled badly, but I wrapped it in these old dish towels.
Shouldn't you go to the hospital?
Now, my insurance has lapsed. I can't afford it.
I'm very sorry about all this, Rob. I couldn't tell that she was so emotionally deranged and violent.
Yeah, she's manipulative, just like my mother.
Let's pray for her and you.
On Thursday, Gail returned home, once again asking to see the pastor, once again manipulating us. She even went to church with me on Sunday morning. I went to the evening service alone. Less than 2 hours later, I came home to a dark house. Everything was gone, clothes, furniture, everything in the cupboards, every last light bulb. My clothes were in a pile, ripped to shreds. I sat on the floor and prayed, quieting my heart.
Very shortly, we'll hear more about Rob's dire situation. Unshackled is translated into Arabic, re-dramatized and broadcast throughout the Middle East. Here are some excerpts of letters we get from listeners there. This man in Egypt writes, "As a Muslim, I was taught never to believe anything I hear from Christians. Then I started listening to Unshackled because the stories were exciting. After many years, I asked myself, what is wrong with what you teach? I now believe in Jesus." From Jordan, this housewife writes, "I accepted Jesus Christ through the ministry of Unshackled. He changed my life completely. Life is now full with meaning." And a woman in Syria writes, "I accepted Jesus Christ through Unshackled." A man from Jordan writes, "From the time Jesus came into my life, I was able to overcome my problems." To learn more about this ministry to Muslims or to have Unshackled broadcast in Arabic in your area, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address, unshackled@pgm.org.
Divorce papers came within days. My empty house at least was a roof over my head. I worked only 1 week a month, so I often went several days without eating. I longed to see my little girls, but God's peace settled my heart. Gail married again soon after the divorce. The house sold, and I sat outside the night before I had to move out and confronted God. God, why did you allow my children to be taken away from me? I tried so hard to make our marriage and family work. Why did I have to be married to an adulteress and a violent woman? I wish I had known you before I met Gail. I wouldn't have been involved with her, Lord. You gave me a great job, and now it's gone. I don't understand why all this had to happen, Lord. You could have made it better, but you didn't. When I stopped talking, God spoke to my heart and reminded me of the many Bible characters and prophets in the Bible who experienced great difficulty and sufferings. I repented and made a commitment to trust the Lord no matter what. Again I prayed. Oh God, you are faithful. Your word says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I will trust you. All I ask is that you protect my daughters. Please keep them safe. Their mother is so unstable. Make a way for me to see them and give me the honor of raising them to know you. And Lord, I also need a job desperately. Someday I hope you bring a godly woman into my life who loves you and will also love me. Amen. One day a friend from the church talked with me.
It's good that you sold your house, Rob.
Yeah, it was a place to live, though, even without furniture.
My wife left me, too. She didn't want anything to do with God, so she gave me the house. If you need a place to stay, I have a spare room you can use.
Yeah, I definitely need a place. I was ready to sleep in my car.
It's bad enough that our wives left us, but some of the church members seem so distant now.
Well, they really don't know what's happened within our homes. The Lord will reveal the truth to them, and then they'll act differently. I'm looking for a job, too, if you know of one.
I work for a catering service. You can do some of the jobs.
Well, I've learned that being a Christian is a lot harder than it looks.
I think the Bible calls it sowing and reaping. We sowed these seeds before salvation, and now we're reaping. As we sow righteousness, God will produce a harvest of blessings for us in the future.
I'm sure you're right.
Did you get to see your kids?
No. Gail tricked me again. She told me to go to her sister's place, but no one was there.
That's so wrong.
Yeah, tell me about it. Over and over, she makes appointments and agrees to meet, but it's all a game, a cruel game. I should report her, but I'm hoping that she'll change.
Sorry, Rob. Well, I'm off to a catering function.
That night, a woman I had known in high school came to see me. She saw the divorce notice in the paper and sought me out. We talked for an hour and spent lots of time together after that night. I stopped attending church services and avoided Christian friends. A man I knew offered me a job at his motorcycle shop that included a place to live. I took it and moved because I was really ashamed of my lifestyle. The peace of God was gone and the convictions troubled me, but I resisted. A few months passed and one day a woman called me at the shop.
Mr. Reiteren, I'm with Children's Services. Your ex-wife wrecked her car and is in jail.
What about my daughters?
They're in protective custody right now.
She's kept me from them for most of the year.
They're all right. Since Gail is in jail, the girls will go into foster care until this is resolved.
Well, why can't I get my girls?
That may be possible. We'd like you to come here for an interview.
The Lord used this incident to bring me to repentance. I knew that I had to be respectful in order to get my daughters, so I returned to the church. However, it was challenging to follow the Lord while working at the motorcycle shop. One day, a customer offered me a second job, repossessing vehicles for a bank and credit union. As I faced another Christmas alone, I prayed. Oh God, please forgive me for doubting you and going back to the world. You answered my prayer and protected my daughters. You answered my prayer for a job, Lord. You're even using all those moves in my childhood to help me in this job. You are awesome, Lord. I want to follow you, Jesus, only you.
God had placed my girls in a foster home with people who were kind and understanding. They even let me pick up the girls at their home, something unheard of. In February, I was at a storage lot on a motorcycle when Rose, the person who processed my file at Children's Services, bicycled by.
Why, hello.
Rose, what a surprise.
Beautiful day for February, isn't it?
Yeah. My second job is repossessing vehicles. I was just checking in some new ones.
Well, you do work hard, Rob.
I guess you know all about me since you typed up my file. It's really embarrassing.
Oh, we have so many clients. Who can remember their stories?
Would you like to go for a motorcycle ride? I knew that she was different, but I soon learned that she was a Christian. We began dating, and God reminded me of my prayer for someone who loved him and would love me. Rose loved me even though she knew everything about me. A few months later, I proposed, and she accepted.
So what's happening with your parents?
I never see them, Rose. They seem to want it that way. Mom left Dad years ago, and this time they didn't get back together. I worked with Dad at the newspaper office after school, but he wouldn't even speak to me when I greeted him. Another man there always talked to me about my day, and he gave me guidance for life. I had to leave them out of my life. It was just too painful.
Well, we see some hard cases, but your mother was unbelievable. Using you and tricking you out of your income, and then taking your car?
Then I married a woman just like my mom, and became just like my dad, although it turns out he wasn't my real dad.
When did you first learn about that?
Well, Mom told me when I was 16, but when I was younger, I'd done a project in science class where we studied our family's DNA, and mine was completely different from the rest of my family. I thought the study was an error.
Oh, how could you forgive your parents?
Well, it took a while. I began to comprehend their decisions after my girls were born. I didn't agree with their choices, but life is challenging, and everyone handles trials their own way. Mom and Dad had their issues, even without us kids, and 12 kids was a lot for anybody's family.
Well, I'll never understand how a mother could say she would abort a child if she could do it over again. That's just cruel.
Yeah, but you know what God showed me, Rose? My life was a lot like Job's. In the midst of troubles, you have to trust God to work out his plan for your life.
Oh, I admire you for choosing to raise your daughters.
Other than Jesus, they were my reason for living. Now I have you, too.
I think you'll get custody, Rob, and I'm happy to help you raise them.
I want to give them a good childhood, not like mine. Nobody ever seemed to love me or want me, well, until Jesus came into my heart and life. We married a year later with my daughters in attendance, and we gained custody of them. Our son was born a year after that, and our daughter in 1988, the same year my ex-wife went to prison, beginning a series of incarcerations. She was diagnosed as bipolar. My mother moved 1,000 miles away, but visited our city once a year for a 2-week vacation. She came to see us briefly.
Well, that was a short visit.
15 minutes. Last time it was 20.
Oh, she seems very uncomfortable here.
Maybe it's because I won't let her smoke in the house.
Or maybe it's the presence of the Lord. Her involvement in the occult brings darkness wherever she goes.
She needs the Lord. Jesus could give her a new life.
Well, we'll just keep praying for her.
We served in our church and raised our daughters to know the Lord, but their visits with Gail were influential in their lives as they entered their teens. As young adults, they turned from the faith and our hearts were broken. But we love them and continue to pray for them. Mom came to town in 2000 and she called me.
Is she coming right over?
No, I told Mom she doesn't have to visit if she doesn't want to. She shouldn't do anything out of obligation.
You don't think she was hurt?
No, she sounded relieved. That was 10 years ago, but we pray that God will save my mom and many other members of my family. My former wife is now a ward of the state with ever-decreasing mental capacity. In 2001, my dad, one of my brothers, and I met for breakfast. I was excited as I prepared to meet them because God had given me a love and understanding for my dad that I didn't have well before salvation. I hadn't seen my dad in more than 20 years.
Where are you working now, Rob?
Well, I'm still at the engine plant. You know, the job you helped me get at the newspaper trained me to be a good employee. I really appreciate the things I learned. They prepared me for life.
Yeah, that engine plant is a good job.
Yeah, it is. How you doing, Dad?
Well, I'm hanging in there. My health hasn't been too good lately.
Yeah, mine either. I've had a heart attack and several spinal cord surgeries. The Lord kept me here, but I'm ready to meet the Lord whenever my appointment with death comes.
Can't say that I am.
Dad, the Lord loves me. He saved me from hell and gave me peace like I've never known before. He changed my life completely.
The Lord knows we can all use some peace.
Yeah, he gives it to all who are willing to receive him. Are you ready to meet the Lord, Dad?
Is he ready to meet me?
God wants you to go to heaven when you die, Dad. Have you ever heard the gospel?
Religion's not important to me.
God offers us salvation through the death of Jesus Christ. He died to give us eternal life, a new life, Dad. Do you believe that you're a sinner?
Aren't we all?
Absolutely, and the penalty for sin is death, the Bible says. That's why Jesus came, to pay the penalty for us.
You're pretty wrapped up in this, aren't you?
I don't want you to die without Christ.
I don't plan to die anytime soon.
Nobody plans to die, but death is imminent for everyone. It's amazing that people buy life insurance for after they die, but they ignore the need for death assurance in Christ. The Bible warns us, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment."
Well, I've made a lot of mistakes, I'll grant you that.
Dad, God calls them sin.
Well, you've made your share of them too, Rob.
I know, and that's why I want to live every moment of my life in gratitude to the Lord for dying in my place. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Can we talk about something else?
My father died 2 years later. At his funeral, a friend of the family told me that Dad had professed faith in Christ before he died. My soul rejoiced in the Lord. We keep busy in church. I've sung in the choir, created murals and artwork, helped with meals, and worked with a small group ministry. I was interviewed recently on the local Christian radio station, which airs Unshackled, and my story is being produced as a result of that interview. I've also spoken in juvenile detention centers, telling them what Jesus said. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it."
Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 has this promise: "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Those promises are for you, listening friend. When you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that now by praying with us. Lord God, I believe you sent Jesus to die for my sins on the cross. I believe he rose from the dead and lives forevermore, able to save and change me. Save me, Lord. Come into my life and make me like you. Thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let us know you prayed. We'll send you some literature to help you grow in new life. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3108. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know if these testimonies make a difference in your life, so please write soon. The address: Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.